Invite you to stand and we'll continue our worship on page 151. Page 151. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with the response of the Introit. It's printed in our worship bulletin today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples.
I will sing praises to you among nations.
For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens.
Let your glory be over the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. We join in the Kyrie, and this is the feast on page 152. 153 and 155. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Almighty God, in your kindness, you cause the light of the gospel to shine among us. By the working of your Holy Spirit, help us to share the good news of your salvation, that all who hear it may rejoice in the gift of your unending love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for today is recorded by Isaiah in chapter 62, the first seven verses. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. As when fire kindles brushwood and a fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. The epistle reading is by St. Paul in his letter to the Romans. We read from chapter 10, verses 11 through 17. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I ask you to stand with me as we join in the Alleluia on page 156. We read from from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he, Jesus, said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. We join in our Christian confession, publicly proclaiming the faith, as we share the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in the back of the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to invite the children to come forward and share for this morning's children's message. While they're coming, we'll sing the first verse of hymn 605. Good morning. I want to ask you to say something after me. Jesus has made God known. Got that? Jesus has made God known. Can you say it with me? Jesus has made God known. Well, the word God is used by a lot of people. And did you know that sometimes people may mean different things when they use the word God? So we're going to try something today. All right, and we're going to ask some of those out here to participate with us, okay? So if anyone here is a father, would you please stand up, if you're able? Look at there. Wow, a bunch of them. Yeah. Are they all alike? No, so we'll ask them to sit back down. So there's a lot of people that go by the word father here, right? Just like there can be a lot of different definitions of God, because it's a word we use, a lot of people use and mean different things. So now, who has their father here today? Okay, what's your father's name? Christopher? Should we say Father Christopher, stand up? There he is. All right. Hey, proud of him. Thank you. All right. Now, this is going to get complicated for young minds, all right? But just think about that. People use the word God for a lot of different gods, just like we use it for a lot of different fathers. But Christopher is your father's name, right? And you see, our God has a name, okay? And his name in Hebrew, when he talked to Moses in the burning bush, you might have studied that in Sunday school, was Yahweh. You say that, Yahweh? It means I am. Just can you say I am? I am. That's pretty cool, isn't that? Just God is I am. He's the real God. and Jesus has made him known. Did you get that? Jesus is God, became a human being for our sake, and he makes the true God known so that we don't just believe in any old God. You're not going to go home with just any father, are you? You're going to go home with Father Christopher because he's your father. And we worship the true God who is the great I am because Jesus has connected us with him, right? Jesus is that God, and he became a human being for our sake. Now, when people long ago wanted to know if another person was a Christian, they would do something. They would draw something like this, maybe in the dirt. You see what that kind of is? It's kind of like a mark, isn't it? Kind of an arc. And if the other person was a Christian, they would come up and they would make another mark and they would make it look like this. What is that? A fish. Yeah. Do you ever see that on cars and things? Because, see, in the language of the New Testament, there were five words. If you took the first letter of each word, of those five words, it spelled the word Greek. In Greek, it spelled the word fish. So they would just put this up, and the five words in English are Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Isn't that something? Can you say that with me? Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. That's quite a confession, isn't it? That's a real confession of our faith. And so when we use the fish, we're confessing that we believe Jesus Christ is God's Son and our Savior. Isn't that neat? And another way we witness to people is by wearing crosses or having crosses. Do you have a cross of your own? You might. Would you like another one? Sure, why not? Tell you what, somebody brought up something here that's consumable. How about that? Consumables. And you can have one of those, and you can have a cross. So don't get confused. Don't eat your cross, okay? But you can eat the animal crackers. All right? Thanks. We're going to let you go back to your seats, and you can take one of the treasures today, okay? There you go. You got that? Oops. I'm dropping them. And we're all going to continue with our next hymn, and I believe the number of that hymn. Yeah, he's going to get one. Just a second. I got to announce the hymn, son. It's going to be hymn 940. 940. Thank you. The grace and mercy of God be with all of you gathered here and those listening with us on the radio this morning. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Lord Jesus, continue to reign in our hearts and lives, and let your word be proclaimed boldly here and around the world, that the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, of forgiveness and eternal life, may continue to reach hearts, that people may know the comfort of your love and the assurance of life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated as we share today from Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And that verse is printed for you in the bulletin also. That he, Jesus, presented himself alive to them, referring to his followers, the disciples, after he suffered by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. I bring you greetings from People of the Book Lutheran Outreach, a ministry as a mission society of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, reaching in several states and in India and a little bit of work in Pakistan. Greetings from our staff and our missionaries, and one of our missionaries in St. Louis is with us. If he wants to stand up and pray for him and his family, his wife would have been here, but she's been having some health problems with high blood pressure, so we keep her in our prayers. And so she and the kids stayed home this time today. But they are working among primarily Muslim people. They'll witness to anyone who will listen to the good news of Jesus Christ, of course. But they are able to speak Arabic and can reach to people who have come to this country with that language and others who are in the culture of Islam because they understand the mindset. And he's going to share during Bible class today much more about their ministry. We'll have a workshop this afternoon that will be very exciting to understand how people in Islam think and how we as Christians can witness the love of Christ to them. But as we get back to this portion of Scripture, notice that Jesus appeared with many proofs. And my goal today is that we would recognize that we are a part of God's witness. That just as Jesus gave testimony and witness to his word with miracles, with healings, even raised the dead during his ministry, and then Jesus, as this verse tells us, not only rose from the dead, but he also, for 40 days, continued to do amazing, miraculous things to prove to them that he really is bodily alive and risen from the dead. And Jesus, our Savior, as God the Son, along with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, is an active God. He's a real God. He's the God who created all things, who sustains creation. He's the God who's involved with us in our daily lives, and he continues to do things. He transforms lives, and he brings people into a relationship with himself and makes their life something noticeably different. This week, I read of a couple in Central Asia. They were Muslim people, but the husband had left Islam and become a Christian. And so the wife, dutifully, in a way, in Islam, reported her husband to the authorities, thinking that then he would be arrested and punished for leaving Islam. But they asked her some questions. They asked her, well, does your husband drink? And she said, well, he used to, but he doesn't anymore. And they said, does your husband beat you? And she said, he used to, but he doesn't anymore. And their response was, we need more men like him. And so they didn't arrest him. And she went home, and her husband explained to her the gospel, the good news that Jesus is the eternal God who came in the flesh, who suffered and died for us, that we might, by faith in him, trusting him and his death for us, have assurance of eternal life. And she too, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was brought to faith in Jesus Christ as her Savior. God uses many proofs, and he can use many proofs in your life day by day as we watch for the opportunities, as we give witness to Christ, and as we live out a Christ-like life. with others. I'm going to give you some examples in the everyday ministry of our missionaries in St. Louis. Sometimes things happen. So many things that happen just like they happen to you and to me. Our missionary that's here today, after he's been here 3.5 years, the first summer he was here, they went shopping and he went out to the car, and lo and behold, the car wouldn't start. So he called up a tow truck to take to the mechanic. And the tow truck came and had our missionary ride in the cab of the truck with him on the way to the mechanic shop. And so on the way, the missionary was saying, you know, our God, my God, he works everything out. My God created everything we see here through the windshield, those trees and all this wonderful creation. My God created all things, and I trust my God is going to provide for me. And whatever things he was saying and pointing to the reality of God. And the truck driver started slowing down. And he stopped. And he said, I want your God. And so our missionary was able to share with him more clearly about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came in the world, who died for us, who rose again. And by faith in him, we can be sure we're having eternal life. The man said, I had only heard this 2 or 3 times when I was young from my grandmother. And there that day, he was moved by the Spirit to commit his life to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, became a follower of Jesus. He was in his early 50s, and he was an American. People need to hear the good news of Christ. Now, we would look at that event and say God had a purpose in having the car not start, because through that, God was able to reach someone. And you see, the apostles, after Jesus rose from the dead and after he ascended, they were told, don't just stand there looking in the clouds. Go back to Jerusalem. You'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And after Pentecost, they went out proclaiming the word. They proclaimed the reality that Jesus is the Savior. They proclaimed the reality that he's risen and that all who believe in him will have eternal life because he's already paid for the sins of the whole world. And in the process of going out and doing that, various things happened. One day a man was healed by Peter and John on their way to the temple. There was a woman named Dorcas who had died and was raised from the dead. There were things that happened that God continued to do through his people to bring people to faith. Philip was taken to a road out of the way down there, and lo and behold, this Ethiopian was in his chariot reading the scroll of Isaiah, and God used Philip to witness to him and explain the scriptures, and he was ready to be baptized then and there. And we believe there's been a church in Ethiopia ever since that first century. God is continually at work. Some of the people who need to hear the good news of Christ the most are people who are trapped under Islam. Islam is an enforced religion. They live under a threat of death if they leave it in many parts of the world. If a Muslim is baptized, it's not going to be like a baptism probably in one of your families. In one of your families and someone's baptized, what do? You invite people to come, right? The family gathers and they celebrate, they have a dinner. If a Muslim is baptized, their family doesn't come. They may be afraid to even tell their family. Sometimes their family may threaten them. Their family will tell them, we don't want anything else to do with you. We know of people who have had family members killed because they converted and became Christians. But they need rescued out of it. They need rescued out of that evil ideology and into the light of Jesus Christ. God is showing he wants them, because in many cases of those who have converted, they tell us of dreams and visions and things that God gave them about Jesus. There's a book called Leaving Allah, Finding Jesus, and it's by Nabil Qureshi, and he's a man who died in his early 30s about a year ago. But he tells of the process of someone continually witnessing and sharing with him the truth of Jesus Christ, and how he resisted that and how he prayed that if Jesus is real, God would give him a dream, and God gave him a dream, and he still didn't convert, and God gave him a second dream, and then he still didn't convert, and God gave him three dreams, three times, before he then became a believer in Jesus Christ as his Savior. God is doing this kind of stuff because he wants people who are in darkness and who are in false religions to know the truth of Jesus. And God wants us to know that he wants them too, that we would share the good news with them about Jesus with convincing proofs. And so, as Hattie says, sometimes people are shocked when they see the love of a Christian, because often Muslim people are taught negative things about Christians. I know a man who converted, who's from Northern Africa. He said while he was a Muslim, he never heard anything good about a Christian, but now he is one. And sometimes they think that Christians are just negative things, less than human almost. But then when a missionary tells them, when someone is a Christian friend and tells them, I'll pray for you, they're shocked. And yet they'll welcome a Christian praying for them because we pray to Jesus, who they consider a prophet. They believe that Jesus never died and that he is somewhere in heaven, but they deny he's God. So they'll allow us to pray for them, but they're shocked that we would want to pray for them because in their religion, Allah only loves those who love Allah and doesn't love other people. But then they see that Christians love them first. And we tell them about Jesus Christ, who loved us when we were yet his enemies, of God's love reaching out to us and saving us and him paying the price for us. It can work in hearts and it can change their hearts, and God can break through the false understandings and bring them to the reality of Jesus. And so our missionaries this year, when Ramadan was going on this spring, the days of fasting, the Muslims fast during the day, but when the sun goes down, they eat. And they often eat a lot. And so the missionaries and a bunch of men at the church, a Lutheran church, provided for them an evening meal after the sun went down one evening during Ramadan, inviting those men to come, giving them an opportunity to practice English, to get to know American men, and to see that it's okay and safe to come to a church. For some of them, many of them, their wives then were coming to English as a second language classes at that church, and it helps open the door for them to see it's not a scary place and that they can come. Our woman missionary has endured suffering with her health. She was diagnosed with cancer, went through two or three surgeries, went through 25 days of treatments. And you can understand how devastating that is on a person's energy level and strength. And yet she continued to maintain smiling and ministry to these Muslim women that she knew. And they were amazed at her stamina and her ability to continue to be up and about and to smile even through what she was going through. And that was something also God used as a convincing proof, an amazing thing that this God that she could point to and say, it's because of Jesus, it's because of him that I'm able to do these things. You see, another convincing proof to help witness to the reality of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who has given us everything in his love. I imagine if we take the time and we meet together in small groups, maybe over dinner today, we can do some of that. And hear what God has done in your life and through your life, the things that are amazing proofs that God has used through you, in you, for you, to convince you that Jesus is the true and living God, that he is the God who saves. He is the God who has accomplished all things, and he is alive forevermore. And he has this just the same amount of power as always. And that we need to help people who maybe look at Christians as weak, who think because our Jesus died on the cross that he somehow is a weakling. We need to let them know, no, he is powerful. He has more power than anyone. He has such great power, he could allow them to do whatever they wanted to him, beating him, nailing him there to the tree, allowing him to suffer and all of that. He could withhold behold his great strength and power and allow himself to die because he also had the power to raise himself from the dead. And he who rose from the dead has the power to raise us. He says, because I live, you also shall what? Live. In Christ we live. We have life eternal. We will not perish, but we will live. Love is the thing we have to share in this new life. The love of Jesus flowing through us. As the scriptures say, may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, that is all the believers, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of Christ. Jesus is, as we shared with the children, he is the great I am. He is the God who could say, I am. I'm the God who acts. I am the God who created. I am the God who will give my son, and I am the God who did give my son. When Jesus came, he continually referred to himself as I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And you see, as the branches connected to him, he assures us we can bear much fruit. So I ask you to pray for our missionaries. Pray for them. If God gives you opportunity, volunteer in reaching to other people with the love of Christ. And if you're moved, give in support of them. We need financial support to keep them in the field and provide for them so that they can be full-time building these relationships and ministering to people. Many people who may be here for the wrong reasons, but who are lost in darkness, and God can bring them around to know the light of Jesus Christ. Friends, you are new creatures in Christ. God declares that the old is gone, right? Our old nature has been done away with. And while it still raises its ugly head at times, it's been drowned. And it'll be done for once and for all one day. And when we are made alive in heaven, when our body is reunited with our soul, it'll only be that new nature that God has put in you that will live on forever and ever. There's an old saying that only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's the beauty of it. We don't earn our way to heaven, but the good things that God works through you, the convincing proofs that God works through your life, are not going to be lost. They're going to be there again with us as we can remember the marvelous things God has done and continues to do in our Lord Jesus. May he bless you. May he fill you with his peace. May you know the assurance that he loves you, that you have complete forgiveness and grace and power to go forth this day as a witness to Jesus and to his love. And God will use your life as a convincing proof. Amen. And may the peace that surpasses all our human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life eternal, to life eternal. Amen. We'll present our offerings to the Lord. invite you to stand with me for our prayers. And in our prayers, we especially remember Lester and Louise Harms, who have been blessed with 70 years together of marriage. We thank God for them. Shall we pray? Our Lord and God, our living Lord, we thank you and adore you that you are the God who has done great things and continues to do great things. And we praise you even now for the things you will use in our lives as convincing proofs. We confess, Lord, that often we have probably not been as aware of your mighty acts as we could have been. But we stand under the cross for your forgiveness and grace, that we may know that you, Lord, have cleansed us of all unrighteousness, and that you wash away our sins so that we need not beat ourselves up, but rather look to Jesus, who paid the full price, and be empowered by you to move forward in being your people day by day. And we thank you, Lord, for the release from sin, and we thank you for the release from death, that we will live and reign with Jesus always. We commit many to you this day, beginning with Lester and Louise. May you bless them abundantly as they celebrate these 70 years of marriage. Continue to use them as a witness to your love. May they be granted a special measure of strength in this time, that you, Lord, may be glorified and that their lives may be a witness of your power to be united with us, your church, forever. We pray that you would be with Pat Duffy and Carl Thurman, that you would minister to them in every way. We pray that you would be with many of the family and friends of Emmanuel, with Jesse and Cindy, with Dustin and Jamie and Devin, with Becky and John and Lindy, Mike and Boston, Haley and Alexis and Stan, with Amy and David, with Carol and Tim and Lane, with Stephen and Vicky, with Danny, Cindy, Kyle, Charlotte, Debbie, Austin, Darren, Krista, Russell, and Betty. We ask that you would be with Sylvia and Millie and Lawanda and Martha. And we pray that those at the villa, especially Dorothy, would be in your care. Be with Leland and be with Mickey, that they may all know that you will sustain them through anything in life and give them the life eternal. Be with President Harrison and his family and President Hagen and his family, that they may lead our church body in your will, and that we may continue to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus in many ways. Be with the mission workers for People of the Book Lutheran Outreach, and continue to bless those serving in St. Louis and many other places. Also be with those on our prayer list of Josh and Coco and John and Sophia, and of Peter and Christy. And may you be with those in the military, with Caleb and Rodney and Chad and the many others, that they may be given, Lord, your protection and strength, and be alert and aware to be of help and protection to each other. We give you praise, gracious Lord, for your gift of this family of God at Emmanuel. Continue to bless this congregation. Prepare this congregation for a new pastor, and allow them to keep their focus on you. And during this time of vacancy, may, Lord, many things happen that help us to realize you are still our good shepherd, and that we may be used by you, that we may glorify and honor you, and that you will provide in due time the pastor you would have for this church. This and so much more on our hearts and minds we bring before you and pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. We close with hymn 660, Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus.